A tennis ball bounce is in store for the UK economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Writing in the Daily Mail newspaper today, Bank of England chief economist Andy Haldane said the British economy is set to grow at its fastest pace since World War II, even overtaking the US. That's thanks to low COVID-19 infection rates and vaccines helping lead to a surge in consumer spending. But Haldane said there's a risk that boom could turn to bust. Sound familiar? It's been one of the biggest debates this week after U.S. inflation spiked in April to the highest level in 13 years. There are signs inflation here is already picking up, too. There's huge demand for hospitality workers, but not enough people to go around, which means companies may need to offer higher wages to convince workers to come on their payrolls. It's an issue James Fryer, director of the Woodhead Restaurant Group, is very familiar with since he embarked on a hiring spree this spring.
Oh, everyone and everything.
He's hiring several chefs and more wait staff at all of the company's four restaurants.
It's a lot. We put out these posts on Instagram, and I know that everybody puts posts on Instagram at the moment, so we feel like maybe we're in a sea of people, but we're fairly confident we can fill those gaps.
Getting people to agree to come on board, though, requires a little more incentive these days.
For us, it's about trying to communicate. What we may have above and beyond another job opportunity is the ability to grow, create a career out of this.
At the moment, that doesn't include higher wages, but pressure to offer a bigger paycheck might be mounting. KPMG research found starting salaries and temp worker wages rose sharply starting in March. So could these early signs of wage growth, alongside an explosion in demand from lockdown-fatigued customers, all be signs inflation in the UK will boom past the central bank's 2% target?
We're not forecasting a big overshoot in inflation, but I mean, certainly it's a question that we're hearing more and more.
That's HSBC economist Liz Martin.
And I can see why, you know, if we go back to the textbooks, inflation is about supply and demand. And the pandemic hit the supply side because we essentially produced a lot fewer goods and services. And then the demand side is pretty strong because we've got this recovery, we've got all this saved wealth.
UK households have roughly $300 billion in extra savings. And according to the Bank of England, which compiled that data, about 10% of it will be spent in the near term. That's something many in hospitality, including Woodhead's Fryer, are banking on as diners come out in droves to enjoy post-lockdown meals.
People are our bread and butter, and we've missed everybody for the last year of our lives.
Still, economist Liz Martin cautions that if all that extra spending does help push inflation higher here, it likely won't be sustained for a period of time. And that's because there's still significant amounts of government and central bank support for the economy. If you have questions about the inflation conversation that's been happening this week, you can tweet me. I'm at Victoria Craig, or drop us a line. We're at marketplace@bbc.co.uk. Checking the numbers now, inflation fears have pressured global markets this week. Eurozone bond yields, which move inversely to prices, are on track for a weekly rise. Though benchmarks in Asia and Europe are higher today, a broad gauge of global stocks is down more than 4% for the week. The Muslim festival of Eid hasn't been as joyous this year in Lebanon because of an economic crisis. As that celebration comes to an end, many households are now dealing with power cuts. Turkey's Car Powership, which provides a quarter of Lebanon's electricity, has cut supplies from its offshore generators. It says it regrets the move, but notes it hasn't been paid in 18 months. The BBC's Quentin Somerville has more from Beirut.
The two floating power stations supplied somewhere between 4 to 6 hours of Lebanon's daily electricity supply. At 8 a.m. local time, they were switched off. The Turkish company Car Power, which owns the ships, says it has owned more than $100 million by the Lebanese state. It's also facing corruption charges, which it denies, and a $25 million fine after a recent court ruling. The Lebanese government is threatening to seize the ships and operate them itself. It's not clear if it has the necessary expertise to do so. The country has been beset by long power outages for years, and private diesel generators are common. In Beirut, I'm the BBC's Quentin Somerville for Marketplace.
Elon Musk's announcement this week that Tesla will no longer accept Bitcoin as payment for its cars highlighted the environmental impact of the mining process for digital currencies. The creator of the Ethereum cryptocurrency said he believes, though, a new generation of more environmentally friendly tokens is on the way. The BBC's Chio Robertson has that story.
Dr. Gavin Wood helped create the blockchain-based cryptocurrency Ethereum almost a decade ago. Dr. Wood is working on his latest venture called Polkadot, a new energy-efficient blockchain-based network that he claims will support a new breed of apps.
Most of the major new cryptocurrencies use extremely little energy. Of course, Bitcoin and Ethereum are still using the legacy technology, and that's what needs to be changed.
Jim Whitehurst is a president of US tech firm IBM. He said innovation in chip manufacturing was also key.
We've announced 2-nanometer technology. So within the next couple of years, chips will come out that it can have 50 billion transistors on something the size of your fingernail. That literally, for the same workload, cuts energy consumption by 75%.
The move by car giant Tesla to stop allowing customers to buy cars with Bitcoin comes as a cryptocurrency community faces questions from environmentalists and green investors. They claim it takes the energy consumption of a medium-sized nation to run Bitcoin. I'm the BBC's Chia Robertson for Marketplace.
Well, as I said, if you have any questions, anything ranging from inflation to cryptocurrencies, don't hesitate to let us know. I'm at Victoria Craig, or you can email us, marketplace@bbc.co.uk. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.